Good day, friends. We come to you again, and we are now dealing with the third chapter of First of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossian church. And you remember he's writing from Rome. He's in prison. And allow me again to read those first four verses, because these four verses are absolutely fundamental to a spiritual life, to a life in Christ. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, or you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, we're discussing in our last lesson this question of perfect substitution. It takes dead people to rise. If you then be raised or risen with Christ, seek the above things. We were discussing the fact, a truth, by the way, that is so rarely ever spoken of, and yet it's fundamental to a spiritual life, to come to realize that when you and I accepted the Savior, we became new men and new women in Christ. For if any man be in Christ, this risen, glorified Christ, he's a new creature. Now, when I speak of, if you then be risen with Christ, resurrection means that something died. And when I say that I've been raised with Christ, then when did I die? And I find that when Christ died on the cross, he took my place. He not only died for your sin and my sin, but he died for us as individuals. He took our place on the cross. And I again quote from Galatians 2:20 when Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I not only say he died for my sins, but he died for us, the sinners. Or you have it over in 1 Peter chapter 3:18, he gave himself for our sins, the just for the unjust. We were crucified with Christ. That's the end of our history as sinners. Hence, we're no longer under judgment. We're no longer seen in sin. We're no longer under the curse of a broken law. We're no longer children of wrath. We're no longer afar off. But we've been eternally united to the Son of God. But now notice, if you then be risen with Christ, and this is perfect identification, to die with Christ involves being raised with Christ. They're inseparable. Christ risen is all that we need. It means that the work he accomplished on the cross was absolutely perfect, complete. And you know, you can't add to perfection, and you can't add to completeness. But Mr. Mitchell, I don't feel that. No. I can understand that. You see, it's not our feelings. When you come to the question of feelings, now you're dealing with the question of experience. And I'm not talking about experience. We'll come to that before we get through this book of Colossians. What I'm talking about is the position, the relationship, might be a better word, the relationship we have to the Savior. This was something that happened when you and I accepted the Savior. We were transformed from children of wrath into the children of God. We were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his blessed Son. Now, I'm repeating things that I've already said over and over again in the study of this book of Colossians. And I'm doing it deliberately. It's not because I don't want anything to say or have anything to say. Because these truths never seem to get a hold of God's people. Or shall I put it the other way around? God's people never seem to get a hold of this church. I'm a new man. We say so glibly, we are children of God. Yes, I'm not going to deny that. But how much has it got a hold of you? That you really are a child of the living God. That he is your father. That he has made himself not only responsible for your salvation, but he's made himself responsible to care for you and keep you and transform you into the image of Christ. For that's the purpose of God for everyone who puts their trust in him. And God never starts a work he doesn't finish. As you have it in Philippians 1:6, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it, finish it. Or you take 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep, to guard the deposit until that day. Or Jude 24, now unto him that's able to keep you from stumbling, from falling, and to present you before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. So one could multiply the scriptures. In fact, I'd like to give you a little wee one from the Old Testament, where it says, we know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. No man shall add to it, no man can take from it. And God does it because, and God doeth it that all men might trust him or put their trust in him. I'm talking now, it's Ecclesiastes 3:14 if you want the passage. See, friend, if you then be risen with Christ, and again I say it takes dead people to rise, this is a position we have in the Savior. You see, I don't feel it, I don't experience it. Let me tell you. If you're not joined to the risen Christ, then you're not saved. You don't have any spiritual life. I'm not joined to the one who walked the earth. I'm speaking now. He was a perfect, righteous, sinless Son of God. I couldn't be joined to him when he walked the earth. I was joined to him when he died on the cross. This is where the union was accomplished. We died at the cross when he died. He bare our sins and he bare us and died in our stead. And when he was raised from the dead, it's God's guarantee that he had finished the job, that he did die for us. And this work on the cross is absolutely satisfying to God. He raised him from the dead, and he raised you and me from the dead. It's the fact we are to believe. Facts are to be believed. See, I just trust that I've made myself clear to you. We are eternally joined to Jesus Christ, and he is all we shall ever need for time or for eternity. He's an all-sufficient Savior. And it's no the folly for me to say he's an all-sufficient Savior if I don't experience something of that sufficiency. Thank God is for every believer. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't need to know what your circumstances are. He knows he is sufficient. If you have really put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows all about your problems. He knows all about your circumstances. He knows all about you. In fact, he knows you better than you know yourself. And even though he knows you better than you know yourself, he still loves you. He still loves you. But Mr. Mitchell, you don't know how much I failed him. Yes? I don't need to know. He knows. And he still loves you. He still loves you. See, friend, he doesn't love us with human love. He loves us with a divine love. And there are no shades of difference in divine love. It's absolutely eternal and perfect. And he loves you right through to the end, in spite of all your failures. Listen, listen. Didn't the Lord know all about you before he saved you? See, yes. And he still saved you? Yes. Then keep on rejoicing in him. He still knows all about you. He knows the end from the beginning. But he wants you to appreciate his fellowship. He wants you to appreciate his grace. He wants you to enjoy him. So, if you be risen with Christ, what's the next statement? Our present life. See. Seek the things which are above. See. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. What do you mean? Well, verses 3 and 4, I have a new life, my present life. The past has been buried forever. We are joined to this living, eternal Son of God, and he has now become our life. You see, it says in verse 3, of a life is hid with Christ in God. Do you remember in chapter 2, verse 3, God has hidden in Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. God's treasure box is Christ. And God has put every believer where? In Christ. The safest place in the universe is in Christ. All the forces of hell or of men can't touch you, my friend. You're in the safest place in the universe. You're in Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Safe from judgment? Yes. Safe from the coming wrath? Yes. Safe from the curse of a broken law? Yes. Safe from death with all its fear? Yes. Safe from sin? Yes. Complete joy. Let me read you a verse. I'm reading from Revelation 21. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain. The former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." I'm reading from the book of Revelation 21, from verse 3. And if you want to go on down through verse 6, and he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely," and so on. See, friend. 16th Psalm, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You say, Mr. Mitchell, you're talking about eternity. What about now? I'm living now. And my friend, in his presence is fullness of joy. It's true. In Revelation 21, you have an eternal picture. That's true. I'm not denying that. But you are in the God. You've been related and joined to the God who guarantees that. Why? Because your life as a sinner has come to an end. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, he's your present life now. The past, and I'm repeating this, the past is buried forever and forever. It'll never, never come before God again. When I was talking a while ago about the forgiveness of sins in one of the past lessons, I said when you stand before God, no one can produce any evidence of your sin. I couldn't have peace with God if that were not true. And the safest place in the universe is to be in Christ. I repeat it, he has already delivered us. Now, forget not your feelings or your experience. Let me ask you to believe what God says. If God says it, don't you believe it? What does he say? "I've already believed. We shall never come into judgment." John 5:24. We shall never come into judgment. We are delivered from the coming wrath. Thessalonians 1:10. He hath delivered us from the coming wrath. We will never come under the curse of a broken law. It's Galatians 3:13. Christ hath delivered us from the curse of the law. See, we will never come again under the fear of death. For Christ, through his death, has delivered us from the fear of death. Or if you take it in Revelation 1:18, he has the authority of death and of hell, the one to whom you've been joined, and you're never again seen in sin. You're seen in Christ. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We're no longer ever seen in sin. Now, that doesn't mean I won't fail God. As long as I'm in a body of frailty and weakness, there could be failure. I shouldn't rejoice in that. I should confess my failures, my sins before the Savior. And really mean it. Not just use the John 1 John 1 as a kind of a talisman or some of the thing you wave over yourself. You've got to mean business with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just. For that sin breaks our fellowship with Him. But even today, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But what about the future? Well, verse 4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. The Lord Jesus is not always going to be hidden from view. You know, the arrogancy of some of these Russian astronauts who went up into the heavens and they said, we didn't see God up there. The arrogancy of man. See, the whole world is waiting. Romans chapter 8 informs me the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But when will that be manifested? When our Lord shall come. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. This is our future. You see, He's not always going to be hidden from view. Time's going to come when our Savior is going to appear in the heavens. And let me tell you, my friend, when Jesus comes and appears in the heavens, and I quote from Revelation chapter 6, the captains, the kings of the earth, the chief captains, presidents, leaders, politicians, name it, every bondman, every free man, everybody on earth is going to fall on their face. And they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who is able to stand? He's going to come in flaming fire. And I'll tell you, when Jesus appears in the heavens, every eye shall see Him. And they that pierced Him and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. I'm quoting from Revelation 1, about verse 8. Do you ever stop to think of it? People laughingly say, why doesn't God show Himself? My friend, if God ever showed Himself, you just wouldn't be there. You'd frizzle away. The time is going to come when He's going to appear. And do you know when He appears in glory? Every one of His children is going to appear with Him in glory too. And the whole nation, the whole creation is waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God, the children of God. The whole universe is waiting for us. And we shall be glorified with all the glory of Christ. As someone has well said, we shall be on exhibition. And the whole created, the whole universe, all created intelligences in heaven and earth and hell will recognize the sons of God, the children of God, when we appear with Him in glory. My, what a prospect. We died with Him. We were raised with Him. We are seated with Him. We live in Him. We shall appear with Him. My, what a union. What a relationship this is. My Christian friend, let us not live like paupers. Let's not bury our heads in the sand. Revel in the fact that Jesus Christ, the exalted Savior, the risen Son of God who put away sin and defeated death and defeated Satan, is your Lord and is your very life. You remember John 1, 4 says, in Him is life. Jesus said, I am come that might have life, and they might have it abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. You ever think of it? I'm joined to the eternal Son of God. My, what a prospect. What a hope. Even David, who doesn't belong, could say, goodness and mercy hath followed me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My, what a prospect for you and me. When He who is our life shall appear, where He's going to be seen, every believer will be with him. We too shall appear with him in glory. Do you remember John 17:22? Jesus said, "Father, the glory which you have given me, I have given them." And I repeat it, the whole creation, the earth, the animal creation, the heavenly hosts, principalities and powers are all waiting. What for? The revelation of the sons of God. You find that in Romans chapter 8. Because when we appear, they are going to be delivered from their bondage, from their corruption. The whole creation, if I can quote that verse, is groaning and travailing and waiting until now. Waiting what for? For the manifestation of the sons of God. All heaven is waiting for you. All heaven is waiting for me. No wonder John could say in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." My, I say again, what a prospect. And we shall see his face, and his name shall be in our foreheads, glorified with all the glory of the Son of God. I say again, what a prospect, what a hope. Do you have that, my friend? You can have this by simply putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And then enjoy him and get into the Word of God and believe what you read. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.